14.
Proverbs 12. Proverbs what?
Start in verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The good man shall be satisfied from within himself, is what it says. Now, what we're talking about is contentment. Contentment is what defines the place in life in which leaven has been removed. The test of contentment is the process of life. That's why we're here. Everything that we are about says that we must be content in whatsoever state we find ourselves. Because from our standpoint, the good man, good meaning abandoned, good meaning picked up the cross, good meaning dead, the good man shall be satisfied from within himself. You require no thing external to you to be in a state of rest or a state of contentment. You require no state of mind. You understand that contentment is beyond a state of mind or a state of your heart? Or a state of your emotions?
Yeah. You can't even obtain that contentment with any mantra of anything that we've heard or that's been spoken. No, that's not it either.
The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Why? Because he goes to his closet to muse on his own activity and what he's going to do in the future and what this means to him. He looks at a car and he sees his own name on it. He looks at a building and he sees his or her own name on the building. He looks at a blade of grass and he sees his or her name on it. He looks at everything and sees their name on it. He looks at a brother and sees his own name on it. He's filled with his own self in all his ways because he's a backslider in heart. Do you understand? Whatsoever you look at, you see yourself. There's nothing as sickening. There's nothing in the universe as stenchful as that process. But it sounds, when you're in the midst of it, it tastes so sweet. It's righteous, it's sincere. It's the leaven that leavens the whole lump. It's the leaven that powers the world. Do you understand that without those three leavens, the world would have no power? Can you imagine what commerce would be like if you didn't know lack? If you didn't know the leaven of Herod, if the people knew not the leaven of Herod, there could be no commerce. The engines of the world would shut down instantly.
You mean, like, for instance, people would just quit buying to make themselves feel better?
Sure, there would be no possibility of television advertising. There would be no possibility of the belief system that if you take certain actions, then you will be, certain good things will happen to you, and if you avoid certain things, no bad thing will happen to you. Do you understand? It's just everything in life is bullshit. Hear me.
Yeah, if you want to sell something or you want to get somebody to do something, that's the way to do it.
The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. He cannot look at any place, at anywhere, at any time, without seeing himself. He looks at God and he sees himself. He looks at Jesus Christ and he sees himself or herself. You understand me? That is the fruit of leaven. And it's the fuel that powers the Antichrist, the god of this world. If you don't feed that beast, it has no power. Now, that's why, from the standpoint of the feast, from the time of the Feast of Passover until the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, those 8 days, you eat no leaven. That means you gain no identity, no sustenance. We're going to do it. We're not going to have leaven. But more so, you need to see what the spiritual meaning of no leaven is. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Now, go to Psalm 37. Verse 4. Well, let's start at the beginning. Verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Is it finally penetrating? Can you imagine a state of being in which there is no possibility that you would ever desire to be in a state of being other than the one you're in? Do you really understand that that's what we are about? That's what belief is? Anything other than that is no faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God? Whatsoever state you find yourself therewith, to be content, without even thinking about it. no possibility, no thing that can take place in your life that will cause you to be aware of yourself, even me. Even the feasts, even the preparation for the feasts. That's why even Purim, it takes no wine to not know the difference between blessed be Mordecai or cursed be Haman. That's what we're about. That's what sanctification is about. That's why you must come down so hard on yourself if you allow any thought that doesn't manifest that. You must cast down that imagination in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What's the test? The test is that you are content in whatsoever state you find yourself therewith to be content. Do you hear me? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked one shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. The meek shall inherit the earth. Thou shalt delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You understand that it's possible even to try to think about yourself and it doesn't work? The state that's described in verse 10 is that you shall try to think about yourself and it won't work. But you have to not want to think about yourself. Do you understand? What we're really talking about is control. What we're really bottom line talking about is the abandonment of the desire for self-divinity. Self-divinity says, I want to control the way I am, the what I be. Self-divinity says, I want to control my environment, I want to control my arena of influence. Self-divinity is the most evil thing there is on the face of the earth. By definition, concern for yourself under any guise is self-divinity. Do you understand that? That's why it cannot be negotiated with. It must be crucified. Instantly. And we've had way, way too much negotiating with self-divinity in this body. No more. Tell me a concern for self that isn't self-divinity. You've reached, the road has gotten so narrow where it's either one of two options. Either you want to be God or you're going to let God be God. Now you'll hopefully remember this the next time the evil one insists on his way. Let's go to Proverbs 15. No, go to Psalm 16 first. Do you understand that as we proceed in understanding that this road, the way gets narrower? Is that becoming clear to you? And what happens is that the psalms that were meaningless are sort of spiritual, lofty, become real hard. They become meat instead of some fluffy balloon that's off in some distant time that you can say, oh, isn't that wonderful? There's not a whole lot about God stuff that the natural mind and the natural man can say that's wonderful. I'm sort of getting, your way is in direct competition with his way. Your self-divinity, your self-control, your preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Now in the Hebrew it says, in thee alone do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my God, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Did you hear that? Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. That's fundamentally what's happening. As you see the idolatry clearly, then the Holy Spirit is able to work on you in a way he wasn't able to work in you 5 years ago. Now, because that part of you has been opened up, the act of going after the slightest act, the slightest even smelling of another God, will cause you misery. What was permissible and what may be permissible to every other person on the face of the earth is death to you now.
You know, what I've seen more than anything in the last week or so, I feel like I'm going through these plagues and stuff, and I see that how much I do need the body, and how I need people. And
amen. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is thy portion. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou alone maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. That's, you understand, that's always. The lines are fallen unto me in a pleasant place. I have a goodly heritage, no matter what it appears to the senses. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. There's a jillion places we could go.
What is that referencing when it says the lines are falling?
Your boundaries.
Okay.
the bounds of your habitation that he has established. Now, are you beginning to see how important it is for you to confess as the sin that crucified Christ anything and any place where you see lack in your life? Now, if things are going good, then this can never be tested. You understand that? The purpose of preaching is to bring you to a place where it's bad news for you, so that that which you have appropriated within yourself or apprehended is tested. There's no other purpose of preaching. It's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. It's foolish to subject yourself to some idiot like me who slams you against the wall 24 hours a day. It's just obscene. But if it's not tested, it's not worth anything. What? What's going on with you?
Well, I keep thinking. Today, Ryan and Pete and I were out in Garland, and I hesitate to say this, because it's not that it was low class or anything like that. It's just that we were out there, and all day long, it was like, for all three of us, it was like, we are so fortunate. Ryan said it best when he said that when he looked at another way, it didn't depress him what he was seeing. It made him feel lucky and fortunate.
Being in Garland?
No, to see what he'd been delivered. And the fact that, yes, we were there all day long.
But you weren't there.
But we weren't there, and we got to leave. We got to get here.
What were you doing in Garland?
We were just working on a house. But that's what's hitting me. It's just like...
Yay, thanks.
I mean, just so fortunate.
Go to Luke 3. Mm-hmm. Now, Luke 3 is about the same thing that Matthew 3 is about. And Matthew 3 and Luke 3 are about John the Baptist preaching, what preaching is. Okay? Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene.
Like Val used to be.
That's pretty funny.
What's a tetrarch? Is that just like a ruler?
Well, it means. Governor.
This town ain't big enough.
Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests. The word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he, this is John the Baptist. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, oh, generation of vipers. But that, see, that sounds too...
It's kind of like saying...
You son of the serpent.
Like you would really see.
You children of the serpent. You sons of the snake. You sons of hell. That's what he said to them.
Creepy.
These nice guys that came out to be baptized. You sons of hell. You generation of vipers. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
You wouldn't invite this guy to a party.
Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to rise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Now, notice there are three levels of what we shall do here. He asked, first of all, the people asked him, saying, what shall we do, right? The people, and he answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized. It was people, not publicans.
Which is one?
Huh? Publicans? Publicans are whatever the world, publicans by definition are whatever that society thinks are bad. Like these guys were the tax collectors and the ones that were like traitors.
Like severe crack addicts.
Well, could be, but well, it could, no, it could be also the ones that you think are bad in a society. It could be the crack addicts. It's publicans as a meaning, it's whatever you generally agree to be, that is bad. Most of these guys were traitors. They were Jews that were traitors because they'd sold out to Rome and were making their living from Rome.
Like
so it's
boy.
The worst. Yes.
No, rock promoters.
Then came the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Now the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages.
You know what's kind of funny about this is that people are always coming and saying, you know, what should I do? Tell me. No, he's telling me. I'm not sure to what end.
But what he's telling them, look at what he's telling them. He's telling them, keep your thought in mind. Go to 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou being called a servant, care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price, be not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now, what John the Baptist told the people, the publicans, the soldiers, and essentially he said in the same way, but he said abide lawfully, abide in it lawfully. Do you understand?
Like we're entering into Caesar.
Be a tax collector, but exact no more than is necessary. If you're a soldier, stop killing people. Don't kill people. Don't accuse anyone unjustly.
It doesn't matter.
You understand? It's just, he's saying, he's declaring that whatever state you find yourself in, therewith to be content. That's what he's saying. Now, I want the list that you are going to make starting this very night to be those things that you do not see contentment in. Now, don't hustle. Don't try to get spiritual here. It's not going to work. I know you too well.
That's the
lie. Whatever thing's right. Whatever things that you think are necessary for you to have contentment.
Well, I don't get confused between lack and no power.
Oh, then... Where's the remit
thing?
Go smack
it. Well, it's a leaven. All leavens have to be excised.
Hey, you're going to doubt me, but I'm going to ask anyway. What is content? Do we have a dictionary?
Let's look it up. Just so
no, when you look at content in the dictionary, there's a picture of Harry Potter. He's gonna start throwing it with a slash across the
Not this.
Sorry, Harry. You're gonna die for that.
Wait till the next
feast. This weekend, he's gonna put it up. Remember that?
Go to Hebrews 13. No, go to Philippians first. Philippians 4. We've studied this one before.
Philippians what?
Chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now go to Hebrews 13. No, go to 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy, chapter 6. Let as many Levites as are under the yoke. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine and be not blasphemed. It's an interesting concept that you blaspheme the doctrine of God if you are not in a state of honoring whoever your boss is. And they...
Does that mean just boss?
You hate to hear that.
It's like, oh no, not the guy at work.
It's probably some metaphorical meaning.
Yeah, right.
It can't mean that.
That's right.
And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will to be rich, will, the word will be is a word that means wills to be. And rich there doesn't mean rich like Ross Perot. It means rich meaning having more than they have now. They that will to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Anyway. Hebrews 13. Can you sort of get the idea that the theme of this Passover is going to be contentment?
Yes. I thought it was freedom.
What's the difference?
Every night is a different one.
No, what's the difference? Verse 5, 13, chapter, Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's why you are content and can be content in whatsoever state you find yourself. It's not an act of psychological manipulation. It's an act of knowledge. And the act of knowledge says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And that act defines contentment. You understand? Contentment, by definition, there is then the certainty that you are not an isolated self.
Freedom.
Contentment. Joy. Soyuz. A member. Now, you know, really when you come down to it, all 11s are really the same. I mean, there's not really... The only reason you would ever feel the need to be a hypocrite, or 11 of the Pharisees, to keep something hidden is because you thought you were separate and have to protect yourself. And you were ashamed to say something. Or the only reason that you wouldn't believe in the power of God is because you felt that you were separate from him. And so all these leavens are just, there's only one leaven. But please, I beg of you, consider carefully the arenas of your life where you see lack. Now, what are they? For some of you, it's health. You see a total lack in health. For some of you, it's food. And it's the thing that you and I talked about. For some of you, it's some aspect of appearance. For some of you, it's an act with regard to... You need someone else, another, a significant other. For some of you, you want to get rid of a significant other. No.
Who's that?
Take my wife.
But whatever it is, it's in every arena of life, from financial to psychological to mental to spiritual, that, you know, let it all come out. Let it all be revealed. Okay? And spend some time.